Hello and welcome to our podcast. Thank you for tuning in today as we go live to Hope City, Sheffield. We pray that this message inspires, encourages, and builds your faith as you listen. Enjoy the message.
Awesome. And we started online today. And so hello to everybody online. Hi, I'm Pastor Dave, and you've kind of met the team already. And trust you have a great service today. And everything I preach for everybody here in Sheffield and everybody across Hope City Church and everybody in all 12 locations and everyone online from whatever country, whatever town you are in. Our greatest supporters online are here today. Our greatest heroes online are Saoirse's parents. And Terry and John are here. Stand up, Terry and John. They're our greatest fans of our online service. And it's been secret up to now. But now you're going to have to share the platform with a whole sack of people. Someone asked me during the week what Hope City Church is about. You know, they said, you know, why does Hope City Church exist? And it was a trick question because they were hoping that I'd say it's all about love. And then they would say, well, there's not a lot of love in this place, right? So it's a trick question, and I get it. You know, sometimes people get confused and hang out with the wrong crowd and that. And you know, and even to say to people who are trying hard, and even to come back and say there's not enough love in this place is a really unloving thing to say. You know, especially to somebody who's trying to love them. And I came back with the correct answer. I said it's a discipleship center. Oh my goodness me. If you describe a car, you wouldn't describe a car as metal, plastic, and glass. And so to describe the church as a place of love is to describe a car as made out of steel and metal and glass. Yeah, but it's a car. It's not just made of material. It's going somewhere. Thanks, Joe. Give Joe a huge round of applause. It's going somewhere. And so I said it's a discipleship center. And then I quoted Matthew 28:18. Jesus said, this is the last words of Jesus in the book of Matthew. He said, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. Therefore, create a nursery. He said, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. And everything that I've taught you, teach them to obey everything that I've said to you. And behold, I'm with you even to the end of the age. That's deep love. We love people so much, we'll accept any person from any walk of life, from any background, from any history, we'll totally accept, but we'll not love you enough to leave you that way. Oh my God. We're here to take you as you are, but to leave you as you are is for someone to leave me back in my brokenness. And that's unloving. The depth of love is found in discipleship. If I was to turn that into my Gilpinology, Gilpin-esque speaking, we're creating a hit factory here. We're trying to create hit makers of a generation. And that's every single one of you who says, I'm open to change. I'm open to growing in Christ. We're here to make you bigger and better than you've ever been in your entire life. That's what we're about. And so everything that, like, we wake up in the morning trying to hear the divine tunes in people's hearts, whether they're Christian or whether they're non-Christian, whatever religious background, we're here to hear the divine tune, because when God created every individual, he put a divine tune within their heart. And love sees through all discrimination, all barriers. It listens for the divine tune, because every person has been created by God. And we're listening out for divine tunes. And when people come to church, we celebrate the divine tune. We celebrate everything about the God creation that's in front of us. But then the job begins. We're here to take out the discords of fear and doubt. We're here to pump people with faith. And faith comes by hearing from God. We're here to add in the baseline of the Holy Spirit, because without the power of the Holy Spirit, we're nothing really.
That's right.
We're here to add in the unforced rhythm of grace, to take people out of legalism and into the freedom that's in Christ. We're here to put some rhythm in your life, to take out the lack of rhythm from stress and anxiety and worry and deception, and put in the rhythm of grace within your heart and life. We're here to add in the harmonies of the church. No man's an island. Nobody can do this on their own. We're here to add in the harmonies, more melody from heaven. And then we're here to put you on the Spotify of human hearts, on your campus, in your work environment, in your neighborhood, in your city, in your country, so that people can hear the sounds of heaven through you. I've started off firing it all. Not sorry. There are twisted tunes out there, and they need the melodies of heaven played on the Spotify of their hearts. Whether they agree with it or not, it's our role is to present the melodies of heaven. And that's you. And that's discipleship. And that's what we're doing. That's why Hope City Church exists. We don't exist just to pamper or create a nursery. We exist to create disciples of God and hit makers that change a generation with the tunes of the Holy Spirit. That's what we're here for. To say that the church is just about love, well, I've said this, and now I'm committed, is to say that a car is just about metal. I mean, it's made of metal. The church is made of love, and we could love better. But it's so much more intricate that we're creating vehicles with a destiny. And each one of you are cars with a mission, with cars with a sat nav, called by God, heading in a God direction to do God things. To change an ungodly generation and to make it godly. The vehicle is you. To quote another sermon of mine, you began as a red mini with the Union Jack on the roof. Created by God. But then how many insecurities caused your windscreen to crack? You know, you're too concerned about what other people thought about you. That led to a rejection complex, that led to an addiction, that led to destruction. And then all of a sudden, the engine stops working. And then somebody who's a part of some hit factory, the hit factory of God, came up to you and told you about Jesus. None of you saw writing on the wall. We'll leave that to the Middle East. You heard somebody speak to you about Jesus Christ. That's what changed your world. And then they gave you, this is what happened at that time. There was an exchange of an old engine that had now completely frozen to a brand new engine. This is what happened to you upon the point of conversion. In Ezekiel 36:26, it says, I'll give you a new heart. I'll put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you a heart of stone, and I'll give you a heart of flesh. That's what's happened. That's a supernatural act, that you've had a change of heart, a change of engine, every single one of you. The thing that makes me mad is that some people haven't changed engines. So they're still the old person, just a better version of them.
We don't want a better version of you. We want it to be transformed, a completely new you, not just a better version of the old you. I mean, that's all the world can come up with, is a better version of the old you. It's still a crummy version of you unless God exchanges a completely collapsed engine, a heart of stone for a heart of flesh. That's salvation. But the thing that makes me mad also is people drive in to the cross as a red Mini with a Union Jack on the roof. They drive out in a beige Volvo. They've got a brand new engine, but they're denying who they actually are. And we've got a commitment in this church that the authentic you would meet the new you, and that would become the next you. And we're here to retrieve the red Mini. We're not here to replace you with the spirit of religion or to steamroll you with the spirit of fear. We're here to build relationship between you and heaven, where Jesus Christ becomes a real father to you. He becomes a real shepherd to you. And we're here taking people back to the cross so they can exchange religion for relationship. God wants you lit, but with a brand new heart, a heart of faith, and a heart of love. Okay, I got to loosen up a bit because you need to loosen up a bit. Hello. Just to let you know, I'm preaching as an apostle. Just to let you know that. Just so you think, where's Furry Dave gone? No, Furry Dave's still here. It's just Furry Dave's putting the fur behind him while he puts Apostle Dave in front of him. I'm not happy about church today. Until I see a church of literally thousands and thousands of people, until I see a wave of the Spirit of God across Hallam University, across Sheffield University, I'm not stopping. Until your work environment changes, until my neighborhood changes, I'm not stopping. I'm not here for niceties. I'm not stopping. I'm here to transfer the kingdom of heaven onto the kingdom of this world. I'm a part of the greatest mission. It's 1,000 times more important than Extinction Rebellion.
That's right. So good. Yeah. Come on, dude.
Okay. Just to let you know. Where's Furry Dave gone? Meet me afterwards, I'll be Furry Dave. I'm not Furry Dave. I've been apostolic for 3 weeks now. I keep going until we break through and become what God called us to be in the first place, a church built on apostles and prophets. There's a spirit that wants us to be built on the softness of soft love that accepts but never changes. May I suggest there are thousands of churches like that in this nation that have reduced themselves down to the powerless wetness of a worldly love. I will refuse. I'll die on a cross to stop that happening to the church of the living God. We are the church. We are the church. The gates of hell are offended by the church of the living God. And that's what we're here to create. Anything less, you live the most unsatisfied life, trying to find happiness in the midst of unhappiness, a quest that will never be solved, because we're not here for happiness. We're here to live purpose. Purpose living beats happiness, and it makes you happier than those whose quest is happiness. Okay, give me a hand, encourage me, and then I'll keep going. Thank you. Thank you online. I say to the person, I said, yeah, we need to be more genuine in love, because it was a criticism that leadership, that'd be me, not genuine. And I'm thinking, well, I'm a quest for genuine love. If you guys have heard me preach, the greatest enemy of love, genuine love, is self-love. I mean, while if everyone's loving themselves, there's not much love to go around, is there? And people have twisted the scripture. When Jesus said, love your neighbor as you love yourself, people say, we've got to firstly love yourself. Well, that's an impossible task, because you're like a bucket with a hole in it, that you're never full.
You're never complete. You can never actually love yourself, because the more focused you come on yourself, the more pedantic and also the more problems you need to solve. And I've had problems for 59 years. So the idea of solving all your problems by yourself is a fallacy. Self-love leads to self-obsession that cuts off love. I'm trying to create a place of love where people park their insecurities and love other people as they actually are obsessed about themselves. Whether it's self-love or self-hate, come out of it. And if you want to be freed from it, you're going to have to love your neighbor as yourself. There's a reason why Jesus never said, love yourself. He never said, forgive yourself. He never taught on self-care. Not for a second did he do it. The first reason is those that love themselves never get around to loving others. Secondly, when you realize that God cares for you so intimately, there's no need for self-care. Why would you want to self-care when you know that God's pouring out his love? Pouring out his love on you. Why would you even ever want to become an island away from God? Why would you even want to call God's love self-love? Why would you even want to call that? It's secular terminology. It's Oprah Winfrey terminology. It's New Age terminology for something that's the most precious thing in my life. If my name's Dave, if someone calls me George and continues to call me George, I'll be mightily dissatisfied. If you continue to call God's love self-love, God will be mightily dissatisfied with you, because you're denying the very essence of the name of God who gave you the love of God. If you spend time self-caring, forgiving yourself and being self-absorbed, you'll actually miss out on the number one revelation that God actually cares. The only way to get a revelation of God's love is surrender. And proof of surrender, because every act of faith needs proof of faith, is that when you do love somebody else, now you're in the zone to catch a revelation of God's love for you, not beforehand. So what comes first, the chicken or the egg? Well, I would say the egg of you sowing your seed into somebody else's life that then allows the chicken to grow from that egg of sacrifice and surrender. Matthew 6, 33, 34 says, seek first his kingdom, his righteousness, and all these things will be given as well. Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow. Well, why don't worry about tomorrow? Because it ain't your job. It's not your job. You've got no capacity. You're not some superhero that you can take on today. Today's got its own concerns. You think you can take on tomorrow? No wonder we're living in the most stressed generation that's ever lived, because you're taking on your tomorrow. When he said, hey, don't take on tomorrow, I've got that. He said, if you seek first my kingdom and my righteousness, not your own righteousness, then all of these things, that's everything you need. That's everything you're anxious about, God will take care of. That's a promise. Can I say, it's unbreakable. It's completely unbreakable. If there is a universal truth, that is a universal truth, a truth of the universe, because Jesus said it. So if you want a revelation of God's love, you're going to have to give up self-love. Yeah. And fourthly, people who need your love will miss out if you spend your time self-loving. What Jesus did say is love your neighbor as you already love yourself. Pamper yourself. Think about yourself. When you do, you'll break the spirit of self-absorption, which is the spirit of the 21st century. Hence, First Fruit Sunday. We're going to break a spirit over you. We need to love more, care more, reach out more, go the extra mile more, give more, share more, lay down our lives more, lift more, pray more, and believe more. Ta-da! Does this place need more love? Well, I would say so. We're not going to get it from the critics. You're going to get it from those who lay down their lives at the altar. I want to give maximum effort for my magnificent obsession. I don't want to do anything half-hearted. I want to burn the candle at both ends for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm sure that's your heart as well. And if there was a time to go all out for Jesus, no foot on the brake, this would be the time to do it. This would be the time to put everything behind a move of the Spirit of God that never begins on the hills of Sheffield or the hills of the town that you're in. It begins on the hills of your heart. Revival starts in your heart and then burns outwards like a mighty bush fire. It is quite quiet in here, isn't it, Lois? People are slightly scared, thinking, oh no, Dave means business here. I'll lighten up at Christmas time. The first mention of churches in the Bible when Abraham's grandson, Jacob, was running away from his brother Esau. Because Esau had a death threat on him because Jacob had stolen his birthright. He'd stolen his inheritance. So here's Jacob on the run, running for miles and miles and miles away from Esau so that he could stay alive. And eventually he's that exhausted. He finds a rock and puts his head on it and lies down and goes to sleep. But it's only partial sleep because he has a dream from God. And the dream that he had was he saw a staircase. He saw a ladder between heaven and earth. And he saw angels ascending and descending that ladder. And on the top of the ladder, he saw the Lord. And then he woke up. And he said, surely God is in this God-forsaken place. He was afraid, it says in Genesis 28, 16 and 17. And then he said, how awesome is this place? This place is none other than the house of God, the gate of heaven. And he called it Bethel, which means the gate of heaven. The law of first mention, he defined the Bible, God defines the church. We are the gateway between heaven and earth. We hold a revelation of Jesus Christ, who's at the top of the ladder. We are the portal hole between heaven and earth. We are God's church. It's a place of divine exchange. That's what this is. That's what you are. There are no other portal holes in the earth's atmosphere outside of the church of the living God. Let's get it right. It's a place of divine exchange. Our blagging for his promises. Our sins for his righteousness. Our weakness for his strength. But the greatest of all is our blindness for his revelation. We need a revelation of who Christ is to us. He's our Savior. He's our King. He's our Lord. He's our mighty God. He's the Rose of Sharon. He's the Alpha. He's the Omega. He's the mighty God. He's the wonderful Counselor. He's the Prince of Peace. He is everything to us. That's who God is. He's the Shepherd of the sheep. He's the head of the church. That's who God is. Ephesians 1:22 says, and God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be the head over everything for the church. My goodness me, if you stop seeing God, your Jesus Christ, as the head of the church, you know what you're going to do? You're going to end up in trouble because you're going to think I'm the head of the church. Oh my goodness me. Father, prevent them from doing so. Lord, what a great mistake it would be to make Dave Kilpin the head of Hope City Church. Oh Lord, save them from such a disaster. The less revelation you have of Jesus, the more pressure you put on leadership. Oh my goodness me, the amount of criticism I've got spells out people have not sought the face of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, just say it straight out, he is the boss. He is the head of the church and the head of Hope City Church. And I, for one, am very pleased about that. Because I am not God. I'm a limited morsel of a human being on the altar of God's sacrifice. That'll do. But I ain't God. The moment you try and make me God, you leave the church. And then you go to another church and ruin that. Because your answer is in Christ. And I'm so sorry that we haven't preached Christ, the head of God's church, in quite a long time. I'm so sorry for your confusion. We assumed that you were seeking first God and his kingdom. But somehow you separated this from God and his kingdom. And you've humanized the gospel. I'm sorry that if our teaching has been so weak that you have easily humanized the gospel. I apologize on behalf of the leadership of this church. But from now on, you better watch out. Because there are some rooms in the house of your heart that are dastardly. The divine exchange, our blindness for a revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the head. Here we go. You're the church. You're the church. You know, the thing that makes me the most mad? The most mad is when people say to someone, there's no love in this place. And they're talking to someone who's in this place. So there's no love in the church. Yet they're talking to someone who's in the church. What? You know what they're saying is leadership. Because everybody has a Messiah complex. Everybody needs a Messiah. And if you don't make Jesus Christ your Messiah, you're going to make something else your Messiah. You're going to idolize. Let's go. Let's go. Preach it. So you're the church. You know, just listen, if someone ever says that to you in future times, just say, look at me. Or apologize for not loving them as much as you should have loved them. But don't become a Switzerland. Don't go neutral in this army, in this warfare between hell and heaven. Don't go, yeah, I know what you mean. No, don't do that. Don't do that. It's evil to neutralize yourself when you're called to be the church of the living God. Be the flippin' church. Be the church of God. 24 hours a day, you're the church. Whether you're at home, whether you're in a pub, whether you're watching the movies, whether you're in a bar, whether you're at work, you're the church. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 12 months of the year, you're the church. To ever think, to ever listen to criticism and not be the church is an evil in the sight of God. To not shut down criticism when you've got the potential to bring the life-giving word of God, to allow somebody with a Messiah complex to point at leadership that's let them down. Leadership will forever let people down because it was never meant to be the sole source of lifting people up. We are a church built on a revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm exhausted. Punching though. Why? YOLO. That's why. You have to have YOLO put on every mirror. Using your lippy. Otherwise, you'll waste a day. This is an eternal war. That's why you'd be stupid to have to want to be happy. You want to be purposeful. No one's happy without a purpose anyway. So I'd say I'm happier than 99% of people on planet Earth. Because I'm in the greatest purpose on Earth. The greatest purpose. And you know, I've got a feeling that all the mass rebellions that are going on about climate change is really a diversionary tactic. That what people should be doing is seeking eternity and having placards for everything that would stop them from receiving eternal life from God. The placards ought to be a rebellion against sin, a rebellion against hell. Plastics might kill the sea, but sin kills the soul that causes them to go to a Christless eternity. You make up your own mind what's more important. Do your recycling, but firstly recycle your heart and bring Jesus into the very center of your life. Okay, so this is my role, just to let you know. My role isn't to do the work of the ministry. It's to equip you to do it better. Thank you, Jesus. If leadership's let you down, it wasn't because I didn't serve you right. It's because I didn't raise up enough servers to serve you right. I didn't fully equip you to serve other people right. Here's my scripture, Ephesians 4:11-13. So Christ himself gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, so we can have warm cuddles. Lovey jubbly. No. It's to equip people for works of service. That's why I'm here. That's why Joe's here. Lois is here. That's why Gavin's here. That's why Jen's here. We're here to equip people for works of service. Why would we want to do that? Well, so the body of Christ might be built up. Well, that's good. Till we all reach unity in the faith. Yeah, there'll be no unity unless we are all unified in the faith. In the knowledge of the Son of God. There you go. In a revelation of God. And become mature. Come on. Let's stop being swept by every wind of doctrine. Attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of God. Well, that's my entire life there. I've given my life over every minute of every waking day for decades to equip the saints for the work of ministry. You're the church. If someone says, "What's the church done for me?" Just do jazz hands. Oh, what's the church done for me? They're in front of you. The church is in front of them. And if you've let them down, just apologize. Say, is there love in this place? Jazz hands. What's the purpose of the church? Jazz hands. What's this? What about the leadership of the church? Jazz hands upwards. To Jesus Christ. It's what he declared to be the very foundation of the church. I've just got a couple of minutes. Matthew 16:18, he says, on this rock, this is what Jesus said to Peter, had a revelation that Jesus Christ was the Son of the living God. He wasn't Elijah reincarnated. And Jesus said, on this rock, that's the rock of revelation, I'll build my church and the gates of hell will not overcome it. I'll give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. So I'll just finish and say the church also is a place of power. The gates of hell will not prevail against it. We've got power over every temptation. There's not one excuse, even in the midst of human brokenness that reaches out to the power of the Holy Spirit. There's not one excuse. to ever fall into temptation. With the same power that rose Christ from the dead within us. The church of God is a place of power. Power over emotion. Power over fear. Over peer pressure. Over persecution. Over weakness. And over rejection. Number two, it's a place of authority. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loose in heaven. Whatever you declare in prayer, so be it. Matthew 6, ask, shall be given. Seek, you'll find. Knock, the door shall be open. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Sow sparingly, reap sparingly. Sow generously, reap generously. Whatever you bind on earth, be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth, we will loose in heaven. You've got authority. You've got authority in prayer, use it. You've got authority in generosity, use it. You've got authority in the plumb line of the Word of God, use it. You've got authority over temptation, use it. You've got authority over your emotions, use it. You've got authority over anxiety, use it. None of us are victims. Unless you're not saved. And if you aren't, I'd love to welcome you to the greatest unseen power in this world, the power of the Holy Spirit, who'll cleanse you of all sin. He'll break the cycles of sin. He'll bring you into an abundant field of goodness, of mercy, of strength. He'll bring you in then to the divine exchange. You're blagging for His promises, your sins for His righteousness, your weakness for His strength. Every eye closed. Father, there's people here who don't know if they're saved. And Father, I'm here, God, to interject and to take away the confusion through a simple prayer to give them clarity that this is the prayer of salvation. I pray for those, Lord God, that have taken the Oprah Winfrey mantra of New Age teachings, that they would come back to the truth that there is no other God but Jesus Christ. There is no other Lord but of the Father and of His Son. There's no other Spirit but the Holy Spirit. And I pray, Lord, that truth would reign in your church and truth would reign in Hope City Church. And for everybody listening and watching online, I pray the truth would reign within your hearts and lives. And whatever you're going through, the trials and the troubles that you're going through, there is a greater power within you. There's no need to collapse. There's no need to collapse. It's a lie. You've got God in your room right now. Jesus Christ is with you right now. He's with you to the end of the age. And even in this room right now, the Holy Spirit's here to empower you, to strengthen you. And let this prayer bring you back to the source of the river. It's Jesus Christ. Let it bring you back to the top of the ladder. It's Jesus Christ. Let it bring you back to the foundation of your souls. It's Jesus Christ. Everybody say this after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I'm coming back to you. You are the Creator. You created me. And you are the Savior. You died for me. And you are the author of life, the author of my faith. And you've given me faith. Faith to believe. And I choose to believe and make Jesus Christ Lord from this moment on and forevermore. I thank you that if I put you first, you'll care for me all the days of my life. I come broken, looking forward to being made whole. I thank you that you are the healer, the provider, the leader, the shepherd. In Jesus' mighty name. Every eye closed. If you prayed that prayer, and this is a little gray today because you've come from all kinds of places and all kinds of confusion. Maybe it's the first time you prayed that kind of prayer. Maybe you've been a backslider. Maybe you've just lived in a very twilight zone. I'm not here to judge you. I'm just here to to lead you to a place of drawing a line in the sand. So if you sincerely prayed that prayer with every eye closed, when I count to three, I'm going to get you to lift up your right hand and leave it up till all the hands are up. And this is simply for you, symbolically, to draw a line in the sand between how it's been and how it will be. This is you prophesying your future. This is you saying, that's the end of that. This is the beginning of a new walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so on the count of three, if you honestly prayed that prayer, sincerely from your heart, very short prayer, I want you to lift your hand. With every eye closed on the count of three. 3, 2, 1, lift. Lift, 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 lift. Lift it up, 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 lift it up. Father God, Father God, hands are going up. Hands are going up. Hands are going up. Father God, bless these people, God, and let the peace of God that passes all understanding be upon them. Be upon their hearts and their souls and their minds, Lord God. And bless them all the days of their life. You can put your hands down in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And everybody said, come on, let's give God a clap offering of praise.
We hope you've enjoyed our podcast today. If you have, we'd love for you to subscribe to our podcast right on our homepage so you can hear all the latest streams from Hope City Church. Why not head to our website at hopecity.church to keep up to date with all that's happening across Hope City.